Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 149, and we are recording this on April 26, 2021. Guardians of the MCU is part of the Random Chatter Network. Please do check us out at randomchatter.com for information on our shows, membership through Patreon, and our show merchandise. I am Tim. Joining me tonight, two lovely co-hosts. Neither of them is John. Ladies, please say hi.
Hello.
What up?
That's Lizzie and Sheba.
We didn't even use our names. We were just like, you know who we are.
I got you covered. I got you covered. And unless someone is like brand spanking new, and I'm sure we get like dozens of new listeners every single week. But
all the time.
Unless someone is brand spanking new, they know who you ladies are. They're on this.
Exactly.
They're on this. I'm not even going to like ask the whole like let's be social for a couple of minutes thing and how is everyone doing, because Lizzie has gross stories and I just don't want her to tell them on the podcast. So
you don't need to what's going on over here, babies.
Yeah. So you're welcome, everybody. We're going to get to it, because actually we do have a lot of news. Lizzie, would you like to do the honors?
Yes, I would love to do that. Well, can I take my 3 minutes first here, or do you want me to do it at the end?
Oh, yes, yes. You wanted to talk about Falcon Winter Soldier. Yes, do it. Okay. Go. Make it happen.
Part of my whole reason why I couldn't be on MCUTV was the whole thing with my life that was gross, and we won't have to talk about that. But
and Lizzie's fine, by the way. Just putting that out there. She's good. She's fine.
We're all fine over here. Yeah. But it was rocky weekend, and I couldn't podcast on it. And I was very sad that I couldn't talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier, because it was so freaking good. And it was like, okay. I'm gonna just go through everything. Okay, here we go. Number one, I love Sam forever. I love him so much. And I really didn't think anybody could come for my love of Steve Rogers, but Bucky and Sam both like equally charged at my love of Steve Rogers, like full force.
Yeah.
Running from far away, like straight at me. And I just didn't see that coming. And I think that that's amazing and beautiful. And I'm obsessed with Sam, like his entrance, his costume, the wings, like I just, everything about it was so good. Every time Bucky smiles, an angel gets its wing. Like, that's just a fact. I think that's the canonical fact of the MCU. The part when, like, Sam and Bucky are together and Bucky just casually calls him Cap. It's like he was waiting for that moment the whole time. And I thought that that was the way that they just made Bucky and Sam's story was so perfect for me. I thought it was really beautiful for both of them. The one thing I hated above everything else was freaking Carly Morgenthau. I don't care. And I'm glad she died. I'm so sorry, but I really hated everything about her. And like, I cannot with her. Like, it's the same character that's in Solo. And I honestly hated her character in Solo. Like, I don't, like, the second she smirked when she said, then it's, we're going to go to war. And she smirked. I was like, yeah, you're going to die. And I'm not mad. Like, I don't care. It's time for you to go. And I was so mad about her that I wanted to care about her mission. And I honestly was waiting for her to die. I'm so sorry to that actress, because I feel like she's not a bad actress. And she's got such a cool look. Like, she's got an amazing, like, cool look to her. But I wanted her to die so badly. And the other thing that pissed me off above anything else was freaking Sharon Carter. I feel like that whole, hold on, this flipping cat. Oh, why do they want to use the one noise-making thing the minute that I am recording? Literally, haven't touched that stupid tunnel all night, and then I hit record, and they're like, what about this tunnel? Okay. Sharon freaking Carter, that whole thing was not earned at all. Like, I could see her becoming the power broker for sure, and I could get behind it, but the idea that she somehow like is disenfranchised from America, and I don't, the whole thing was 100% not earned. Absolutely not. That's a no for me. I do want her to connect with Val at some point because I feel like that would make sense. I love everything about Val. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is like queen for me, queen bee. I love her. And I love her introduction. I think she's hilarious. And I think she's got the perfect comedic timing for Marvel. I would love to see her team up with Sharon, but the Sharon on her own, that she's somehow peddling the freaking super soldier serum. Come at me, Marvel. No, she's not. No, she's not. And she's not working with Carly. And Carly needs to die. And that's how I feel about that. But the rest of it, I really, really loved. I mean, as far as like Sam and Bucky's stories, their friendship, how they get to where they are at the end of the show, I think it's perfect. And then that very ending when it says Captain America and the Winter Soldier, just like tears. And the Isaiah Bradley part also really poignant, especially with everything that's going on. I felt like it hit so many important notes, which is why when it didn't hit them, I was so disappointed because it really was so successful in so many other ways. My brother found an article, which I'll have to find. I don't know if either of you read it, that said one of the early story. I don't know if you talked about it on MCU TV, but one of the early storylines was this whole pandemic storyline where everybody had blipped. And that makes way more sense to me than what we actually saw. And the fact that they ended up having to pivot the storyline, that sort of makes sense where it sort of has these holes and doesn't really fit together very well. So I can understand that they had to like not do a pandemic storyline because like, no, thank you. Like nobody wants that. Yeah. But so anyway, I think that's longer than 3 minutes, but I really tried. that's really how I felt about it. I love any time that like all the moments with Sam and Bucky together were just really, really beautiful. And I think it really came full circle from Bucky's story to Sam's story to their story with Steve and sort of like propelling Sam into that future as Captain America. Was that whole speech he has with that, you know, with the senator is just so beautiful.
No, it is.
And just so like what I wish we had. That's what makes me sad about not having superheroes in our real life. Or anybody who steps into that and exudes that without superpowers. I mean, there are people who do that, but I feel like we're in a time period of something else. And I can't think of anybody who's like stepping into a role like that. I mean, even a president doesn't really fit into that sort of like bubble. It's very much a movie superhero thing that maybe our world doesn't have a place for that. But anyways, I mean, I've tried to wrap it up, tried to make it fast, but I was too excited. those are my feelings. And so then on our first news point, onto the news, I don't say it, it's going to skip. That leads us to the Captain America 4 announcement, which I think is just so amazing out of this show. Like, and that's kind of what we've talked about is that like the shows are where the intimate stories are being told and like starting, and then they throw it into the movie verse, and that's where we're going to get these cool team ups and these crossovers and these big, huge villains and that kind of stuff. That's the thing about Carly. She's just not a believable villain, but who knows what will come out of Captain America 4. I'm so excited to see it. So there you go. That's my whole intro. Sorry for talking so long. I tried.
And we talked a little bit about it at MCU TV again, there was an interview with Tom Holland and him saying that, you know, telling Anthony Mackie, like, oh, you don't have a movie. You don't have your own movie. I have a movie. You don't. So the fact that now he has his own movie that he can like kind of hold it over Tom Holland being like, ha, now I have a movie, you know, take that kind of thing. So very excited for Anthony Mackie.
Yeah, I really am. And I'm looking forward to what that story is going to be. Of course, it's probably like at this point, like 2 years out, at least maybe 3 years, given the fact that really a lot of our next 2 years for these movies are already scheduled. We're getting like 4 movies a year and it's a packed schedule. So, it's going to be a while before we see it. But hopefully we do see Sam before then. You know, hopefully we see him elsewhere. We see him in other things, which I'd love to have.
Yeah, there's a lot of places he could come in. I mean, I feel like Armor Wars is a really easy jump for him, especially already playing a role in the beginning. It makes sense that he'd show up in Armor Wars somehow. Totally.
Yeah.
Who you know knows what other possibilities?
You know what would be absolutely hilarious if he showed up and did those PSAs that Cap did for the first Spider-Man?
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah.
They just redid it with Sam because he's the new Captain America.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
That would be amazing.
It'd be like, okay, I guess we've updated them now. I would like to see that happen.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. One other thing I forgot is I did not expect them to circle back around and try to give like John Walker some sort of like depth. That was very surprising to me. But like, given that he's going to be US agent, like he's going to be a bigger character. But I didn't want any redemption for him. And I was kind of surprised that they went there.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're setting up to have like this darker storyline,
they still
sort of tried to give him a little redemption, which was surprising.
But, yeah. Yep. I agree. Let's see. Last night, Chloe Zhao, who is the director for Eternals, she won Academy Award for Best Director for Nomadland. Either of you guys seen Nomadland by chance?
I haven't yet.
I haven't yet.
I think I've seen it on some one of the streaming services, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to check it out, and I just haven't gotten around to it.
I think it's on Hulu.
Okay, I can guarantee it is not on Amazon Prime.
I have it on. That's where I've seen it. I've seen it on Disney on the Star aspect for Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep.
Yeah. So, because I was wondering. I'm like, I have seen the title, and I was like, oh, I'll watch this, but I just didn't get around to it. But I couldn't remember where I saw it, so it was on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I mean, it also won Best Picture and several other awards. So it's exciting to see that she is getting so many accolades, and it makes me even more confident in what she has set up for Eternals, especially given that she really doesn't have a lot of experience behind her, but the small handful of things that she has done they've been insanely well received, and they've been really, really impactful. And this is going to be a considerable deviation for her, because she has done things that are more along the line of documentary or social commentary kind of stuff. Not to say, though, I mean, the MCU, especially, hey, just look at Falcon Winter Soldier, how much social commentary was in that. And we actually do see a fair amount of social commentary across a lot of the MCU products. So, you know, I would certainly expect to see some there.
And it's cool because a lot of the cast in Eternals, there's a huge diverse cast in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be nice to have somebody behind the scenes who is also, you know, a person of color to have them directing that movie, because I don't know. Again, I don't know what the story is going to be like, but just to be extra sensitive to what they're putting into the characters, who they're going to be, how to portray them. It's definitely really important. So definitely looking forward to seeing what she brings to it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Next up, we had a surprise announcement last week that I don't think anyone expected. I hadn't seen this in any of the rumors that were out there. No one was saying anything about this. Emilia Clarke, who we know from Game of Thrones and from Solo, has been confirmed for Secret Invasion.
Yep. I love Emilia Clarke, so I'm super excited. It's funny because most people were wanting to get her to replace Amber Heard in Aquaman, and that was like the campaign that was going around. And everyone was just like, oh, we want her to be in Aquaman. We haven't wanted her to be in Aquaman. And then all of a sudden this dropped, and everyone's like, well, I guess that's not happening. But I'm very excited to have her in the MCU. And I feel like the MCU just keeps getting more and more amazing actors and actresses in the MCU, and it's
three
cool.
Game of Thrones just in the next phase. Like Robert Stark, Jon Snow, and that's like huge
players too.
And Peter Dinklage was already in the MCU. Mm-hmm. And like I mean, they're all obviously Game of Thrones is like chock-a-block full of amazing actors, so it makes sense that like any of them would trickle into something like the MCU. But it feels like they're all coming in this like one,
which is
fun.
I don't know if you heard that, like the thing that was going around a while back with a few actors, directors, and people who were like, oh, well, the MCU, you know, it's not real. We don't want to be in it. And why is everybody being in it? No, it's not real movies or whatever they were saying.
I think it was like Martin Scorsese
Yeah. Jennifer Aniston talked about it at some point.
Yes.
There were a few.
So don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a few people that were talking about it. And I just thought it was kind of hilarious because literally everyone is getting into the MCU now. So I feel like the people that were complaining about it might have been people who were like, but we want to be in it, but aren't in it. And so we're going to be mad about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it's great that she's in it. As Lizzie said, that we're getting a lot of the big actors from Game of Thrones, which is fantastic. Emilia Clarke she's a really incredible actress. Mm-hmm. She has a huge, huge career in front of her, and I'm glad that she has joined the MCU. There was no character attached to her announcement, so we have no idea who she's going to play. I'm going to give it a little bit of time before we even like try to speculate who it is, because while we know generally what we know what the Secret Invasion storyline is from the comics, and we're actually going to do a profile on that, because we've mentioned Secret Invasion like really, I think, through the entire history of Guardians of the MCU, because it is one of those big touch point stories in the comics. And we do want to, we should actually talk about it and kind of tell folks what it is. And it's one of those storylines that it was a meta, mega crossover. It impacted almost every single character in the comics, brought in almost every single, comic, that was out there. So truly she could be playing anyone.
Yep.
So who knows? Endgame. Endgame is already 2 years old.
Can't believe it.
Oh my gosh, I was just talking about this on, I was doing an episode Marvel Shipyard with my next guest on my show. And we were reminiscing about it because we were talking to Steve and Peggy. And like, I was going through all my old Instagram posts of like that day. I saw it the 25th. So I saw it like late the night of that Thursday before. And then I loved it so much and was crying so hard in my Instagram post that I like literally booked a ticket for the first showing the next day, the 26th, and went immediately back into it early that morning to see it again. And was just like bawling again when I left the theaters. I can't believe it's 2 years.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. I mean, of course, when we consider that, for the last over a year, we've been dealing with the pandemic. So it's like we kind of like erase this past year of weirdness. We were talking about it last night on Random Chatter on our review show that just a few days ago, my wife and I had watched both Infinity War and Endgame. They're running on like TBS or something. And so we ended up watching Infinity War. We caught it like really early on. I think we were like eating dinner or whatever. So we watched it. And then Endgame was starting right after that. And my wife's like, you know what? I haven't seen Endgame in a while. I want to watch it again. I'm like, oh, okay. But we're going to go to Disney Plus because I'm tired of the commercials. It hadn't been that long since I've seen it, but still it's like those for both of those movies, just like with a lot of the Marvel movies. I mean, there are just like you said, Lizzie, I mean, there are those moments when the tears come in either because it's, there's a sad moment or like what usually chokes me up the most are like the big heroic moments, the whole on your left thing when all the portals open up and everyone comes out to like save the day. To me, that's like, I love those big heroic moments. That kind of stuff. Like even now I'm kind of getting goosebumpy. Just thinking about it. And I love that stuff.
Like we watched it we watched like maybe a month or so ago, quite recently, because my mom hadn't seen Endgame. Mm-hmm. So we rewatched it again. And the whole time my sister and I, because it was me and my sister and my mom, my sister and I, and we were all just watching it together. And we get excited at the same parts. When Cap picks up Mjolnir, we're like, oh my God, it's Cap picking up Mjolnir. And my mom's like, seen this already. And we're like, but it's so exciting.
It really is.
I've already seen it. I'm like, but even if you know it's coming, it just that the reaction that even that Thor has, just it like ripples across everyone who watches it and just gets that excited. So all of those moments, and then the minute the on your left part happened, we were just like waiting for it, and then we're like on your left, and we got so excited. when he says Avengers Assemble, like at all of those moments were just, everyone just went crazy. Like we just, my sister and I were still going crazy over the same moments, even though we'd seen it like a million times.
Yeah.
I don't think there's an amount of times I could see it and not feel that way. Like because it's so emotional, I haven't watched it as many times as like some other Avengers or Marvel movies or some other movies in general. It's the same with like the final Harry Potter movie. I've seen a lot of the other Harry Potters before I've seen that one. Just because that one brings, I don't like to go into one that's so emotional over and over again. But yeah, I did just watch it in my road to WandaVision. I skimmed it in my road to Falcon and the Winter Soldier because I ran out of time. But I did watch it right before WandaVision. And I still felt the same way. Like I cried probably harder. And even in my going back and looking at my Instagram, like I cried harder the second time than I did the first because like when you know it's coming and you know the impact of everything you've seen for the last 10 years, it does mean more than the first time you've seen it and you haven't had time to process it. Now we've had 2 years to process it and more context in WandaVision and more context in Far From Home and more context in Falcon Winter Soldier. And it really adds gravity to the movie and beauty to what we've seen. And it just makes it so much more powerful.
And on top of that, like everything that we've gone through in the last, like over the last year or more, just kind of adds more into it. Like I remember just watching it going, oh, that reminds me of the pandemic. Oh, remember when we used to hang out with people? Remember when we used to hang out with people?
Yeah.
Remember when we used to the theater and watch this?
The whole blip part and the idea that a giant chunk of people have died in a specific period of time, that's very relative to what we're going through. And like in a different way, obviously, we don't have superheroes to save us, but like it feels very relevant in a heroic, otherworldly, crazy, big way. But that's how sometimes we really connect to things that we are going through is through movies like that. Yeah. And I think this movie is hard to watch in our current reality, but it's still so beautiful and amazing and such good storytelling in the canon of movies that we've gotten.
That's a really interesting analogy, Lizzie, that to compare the blip to what we've gone through and yeah, because it's not only the loss of life that we've experienced, but then this huge change in how the rest of us, you know, those who are living through it, have had to adapt and how much the world has changed. And it's been a very notable change for us. I mean, this is probably the most that society, at least here in the US, has had to change since like World War II. You know, in World War II, we had, you know, obviously rationing, we had a lot of deaths, we had, you know, a lot of young men going overseas to fight. We had manufacturing changing. We had a whole lot of things really like severely changing. So a lot of changes in lifestyle occurring. And, you know, it's there's definitely some comparison here. And I think, certainly to the blip, you know, because people who survived it were almost resentful.
Yeah.
I think that the scene that really brings it home for me is that is with the Russo brother. I don't remember which brother is in it, which in mind you might know, but off the top of your head, but the Russo brother that's in it in the therapy scene with Cap, and he's talking about the date he goes on, and he's talking about how he started crying before the dessert and the date started crying after the dessert. And it's these two strangers having a date in the midst of this whole thing, this blip. And that, like, they couldn't make it through a date without both of them, like, crying about something that they don't know each other, but they have the shared experience. And I think that that's the thing that really also brings me to feel like it is what's happening here. Is if I went on a date with someone, which, no thank you, but if I did, he would have gone through his own version of this pandemic for the last year and a half. And I would have gone through my own version. And we would have sat down for a date. And there's no way we could sit across the table from each other and just like ignore that and be like, my brother went to FSU like I did. Like,
oh, totally.
Like ignore that. And I think that that's the moment that really makes me think like they're trying to do something so mundane and normal as dating. And this crazy thing happened. We can't ignore it when we're having our conversations. And I think like that's kind of what I think about when I watch it again. I'm like, ew, if I wanted a date, that might like, accelerate our like conversation because we'd miss the small talk part, which I kind of like actually. So I don't know. It'd be good.
Well, anyway, and it's a great example because like life does have to go on. So, you know, we had that example in Endgame. We've got so much of that from Falcon and Winter Soldier where Sam is connecting with his family and he and his sister are doing, you know, quote, mundane things like fixing up the boat and going to the bank and, you know, that kind of stuff, like, you know, real life kinds of things. And I really, and it's interesting that there was a discussion in Discord earlier today about it. And some people actually didn't like that because they're like, hey, when I watch something, I kind of want to have the escape from real life, which I can completely understand. But that said, I mean, it's while it was real, it wasn't like, you know, and there's certainly some hardship to it, but it wasn't like a misery,
you know, for these
folks. And yeah, there's still certainly a superhero element to it, but it made these characters even more real and more relatable. And, you know, I mean, Sam is probably more relatable than most of the characters that we have because he's not even a super soldier.
He's way more relatable than Steve.
Yeah.
And you know, I love Steve, but he's far more relatable. And he's probably the Captain America we need most now.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And then, you know, even for Bucky, they were able to ground Bucky's character after decades of him simply just being a killing machine. And, you know, truly in most of the movies that we saw of Bucky, I mean, Bucky was in X number of movies and probably had 3 minutes of actual speaking, of actual dialogue in those movies. I mean, because that wasn't his thing. He was just there to like be intimidating and kill people. And now we got like so much more of him and he's coming into his own too, because he was the Winter Soldier. And he no longer is. And it's almost one of those situations where like even this series of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Bucky wasn't the Winter Soldier in the series.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it is because it was a big transformation for him. So
I honestly was a little sad that it didn't say Captain America and the White Wolf, because I think that's really where it should have gone.
As soon as we had the announcement for the Captain America 4 and John and I were texting about it, and I said, I want the name of the next movie to be Captain America and the White Wolf, because I still want Bucky to be attached to this. I think they have a great relationship. They have a really good partnership. They need to continue Bucky's story. He has to continue to grow. And Sam also does too. And I think their growth together really works. And I think that, you know, we've only heard, again, out of X number of movies, the White Wolf moniker mentioned, I believe, 4 times. That's it, 4 times. And we need to see the White Wolf now. You know, we got to actually see that embodiment. We got to see it happen.
I think to go back to what you were saying about like people being upset about it being too real, is that like whenever a character is forced to find their humanity, whether that's Superman or Data on Star Trek, or you know, there's so many characters that have to like the otherworldly thing is him as this like bloodless killer who doesn't care and doesn't remember. The thing that's hard is him confronting the grief that he hurt somebody and him going back to make reparations with the father of the son that he killed is mm-hmm. is not an easy thing to take. But that's mm-hmm. what's beautiful about superhero stories is that they're not always easy, is that they find a way to connect with the humanity in us through some crazy otherworldly superpower or situation or battle or bad guy. But like that's what we see in them. That's why we connect with them. And I totally understand the this feels too real narrative. Like, of course it does.
Sure.
But that's the point. And I bet you $1 million that it felt too real in the 60s for people reading Luke Cage.
Oh,
and,
totally.
And feeling, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there are people who felt like the story was too real all along. Mm-hmm. Now it's hitting you. Good. Yeah. Because it was hitting people, other people all along. Exactly. And I feel there's a part of people who never felt like it mattered and it was just some otherworldly superhero story. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden it feels very real. And I think that that's what's beautiful about it.
And that's exactly what the point that I had made in that discussion is that, you know, it is part of their, it's part, for example, it's part of Sam's story, is that that realness or everything that he's going through, it is part of his story. It's who he is. And you can't separate that from who he is. Like, he's a Black man. That's part of the mm-hmm. story. And
you can't separate that from the world we're living
in. Exactly. And so many people, like Black people and people of color, that's something that they deal with on a regular basis. And even when they escape, they try to quote unquote escape in entertainment, it's still technically part of it is there. It's always in the background. It's always looming there. So it's not like you can completely escape and get away from it. So it is part of reality. So it's kind of, I, and again, a lot of comics have always brought it up, at least with Marvel comics, they've always brought it up and it's always been part of their stories. Another thing is that I've heard people criticize Marvel for not being, quote, realistic enough. And, you know, talking about DC going, oh, well, you know, that's how it would be if, you know, these superheroes and these people lived in the real world. So that's why, you know, it's amazing that that's what DC is doing for the DCEU. Right. And I've heard people criticize Marvel for not being real enough. So I just find it's an interesting thing where some people are like, no, I don't want it anymore. And usually when it's a, I don't want it anymore, it's when we're talking about social justice issues where people are like, no, no, I don't want it to be, it's too real. It's usually during those moments and you're like, eh, well, it's kind of a thing that's happening and it's been happening for a long time. You know,
and I expect that we're going to see a lot more of, regardless of what the specific topic is, I think we're going to see a lot more of this kind of groundedness with the Disney Plus series, because they have the advantage of longer form storytelling versus a movie, where in a movie, it's like, all right, first act, we set it up. We set up the conflict. Second act, we have, you know, an escalation of that conflict. And usually, you know, the hero falls. And then the third act, you know, the hero comes back up and wins. You know, that's the typical story beat of these things. And even though they're fundamentally doing the same thing on Disney Plus, but we have, you know, basically roughly 6 hours that they're doing it in. So they really are able to tell these more personal stories, which I appreciate. But again, I also understand people want like a little bit more escapism because, hey, especially for the last year, reality has been a little bit too real and it is nice to get away from it. So, I mean, I see both sides. I see both sides. Sometimes you really just want to tune out and just have that popcorn movie kind of thing. So I totally get it.
I think when they get to the movies, I think they're going to deal with something different. I think when they get to the movies, we'll get the popcorn movie.
Yeah. Let's see. So we do, like I said, we have a lot of news here, so we have to keep going. James Gunn showed the cover a few days ago of his first draft of the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. And so if you remember back a few months ago to the big Disney investors event, and Disney went through all their properties and they had all their vice presidents in charge of all these different things come up and give their presentations and talk about them. During the Marvel one of the things that was announced along with Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. And these are actually going to be shot at the same time because they're both being done by James Gunn. It's both Guardians of the Galaxy. They're going to have everybody there. So they're just going to make this stuff happen. He actually said that it is going to be canonical, for as canonical as the MCU is. It's going to take place apparently after the events of Thor: Love and Thunder. And the great thing is probably the really funny part to the story. And I don't know if you guys saw this, was Mark Hamill's response to James Gunn's tweet.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So
it wasn't long, but it was moving.
So, you know, James Gunn posted the thing saying, you know, something like, hey, this is the first draft that's going to happen. And Mark Hamill responded with something like, oh, yeah, these things always go well.
Yeah.
You know, with a little bit of a nod, tongue in cheek, to the Star Wars holiday special, which, of course, is an absolute, you know, always was an absolute train wreck. Yeah, or dumpster fire, or yeah. So that was really funny. That was really funny. That was good. Kind of similar thread here. James Gunn had also mentioned that he and Taika Waititi had actually swapped scripts of Thor 4 and Guardians 3 to make sure that there was continuity of the characters, particularly because the Guardians of the Galaxy crew are featured fairly prominently in Thor: Love and Thunder. So, you know, it's more of this really great continuity that we see and that we expect in the MCU. And I absolutely love that we have this. And we have directors who are working on completely different stories, quote, using each other's characters, which, you know, I mean, no one can doubt that Guardians of the Galaxy are James Gunn's characters, you know? And so, like, that's why we saw him listed as an executive producer for Infinity War and Endgame, because he was basically an advisor on the writing and the acting and, like, hey, Star-Lord would never do this kind of a thing, you know?
And he's the one who made the Guardians of the Galaxy. So, because I remember even watching, like, before going to watch the Guardians of the Galaxy, I'd suggested it to a friend. I'm like, let's go watch it together. She's like, sure, why not? And even then, before I was going, people were like, eh, you know, it was all right, like the trailers and everything. And then the minute it came out, everyone was like, this is amazing. We weren't expecting it. And I think that it's totally a testament to James Gunn and his writing and directing and everything. Without him, it wouldn't have been as successful as the Guardians of the Galaxy were. He definitely made it, because a lot of people, even people who read the comics, were like, yeah, they were all right as characters. You know, nobody was really super interested in seeing the movie until they actually went to go see it and were like, wow, this is actually phenomenal. We take it all back. So I love that James Gunn and Taika Waititi, I think I'm biased in everything that he makes, and I watch it all, and I love everything that he's made. Every single movie and any movie I've seen of his, I have absolutely loved. So I love that he and James Gunn are both, you know, kind of making sure that there is that continuity, because it just shows how much they care about their characters and the writing and the movies themselves, which is amazing.
I imagine them in, like, the Stark cabin, like, out in the woods, being like, hey, what's that room? Don't say anything till you're done reading it. And then they came back in and, like, had wine and then, like, talked about it all. That's how I imagine the two of them reading those scripts.
Oh, totally.
I'm imagining that they're best friends now from this. 100%. You know, like, they're going to hang out every so often, and it just makes me really happy.
But, like, they made mimosas and sat on the front porch and just, like, talked Guardians and Thor forever. And, like, I love them.
And I can imagine their personalities being so compatible, because they both have a slightly twisted sense of humor. Exactly.
Like, made family, not born family, like, sensibility.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Love that about them.
Yeah.
Speaking of Thor: Love and Thunder, we heard a couple weeks ago that Russell Crowe was in the movie. And he had mentioned in the past week, in some interview somewhere, that he was actually playing Zeus in Thor: Love and Thunder. So this, you know, we're now opening up a little bit more. Here, there's an expectation that, well, if we have Zeus, maybe we're going to get Hercules at some point. And Hercules has been talked about for a long time. You know, so I know a lot of people would like to see that character as well. You know, I think it's really interesting that we're seeing a lot of this. And Thor Love and Thunder is absolutely being described as having an Avengers 5 type of feel to it, considering that we have so many characters that are being packed into this movie. We have all the central Thor characters, probably aside from Loki. We have the Guardians of the Galaxy, I would say all but one. I'm going to guess Gamora is still MIA. You know, it's going to be big. I think it's going to be pretty epic. And then of course we're also expecting, Doctor Strange too, to be similarly very epic with all the rumors that have gone on with that as well. And then we've got all these other rumors with, the next Spider-Man movie. So it looks like they're really packing some of these movies, but then we also have these other films which are bringing us introductions to characters. So we have Eternals, we have Shang-Chi, who are right now we don't know much about either one of them. So, you know, but I'm sure that they're certainly going to be standing up along with the rest of them.
Oh yeah.
I have to say I'm excited about Russell Crowe because I actually like love him as Jor-El in Man of Steel, and I literally hate that movie. Every fiber of my but his role.
I was the old one.
Oh my God, I hate it. I hate everything about it. But I love him. I love the portrayal of Krypton, and I love him as Jor-El. And I imagine Zeus having a very Jor-El, like otherworldly father figure, like planetary god feeling. And I love that for him.
A lot of parallels.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I've got a lot of potential for that. And I think he's a great person to play that role. I mean, I love him in Gladiator. That's like peak Russell Crowe for me, but like also that with this, like a sort of, you know, Roman warrior situation. I think that fits with Zeus too.
Yeah.
And it's going to be nice to have him in the MCU. I wonder if he's going to have any like comedic stuff in it. Like he did with, what was that movie he did with Ryan Gosling, the other guys. Is that what it was called? And then there was a like a buddy cop movie where it was just, he had a lot of comedic chops in that as well.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he's going to be able to like stretch those muscles.
And it's, you know, it's too bad that we're not going to see him as Hercules. And I think that's much more of that Gladiator age, connection. Right? And, you know, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah,
you know that he was in Gladiator. So yeah, you know he's getting up there a little bit in age. I mean, still obviously could kick my ass,
for sure.
But it, you know, for that Hercules character, we do need someone very much like that. And Hercules is an Avenger in the comics, so you know there are a lot of expectations that we're going to see him.
I think you're right. 20 years ago, he would have been cast as Hercules, but Zeus is a really natural progression for him as an actor to get cast in instead of Hercules. But I think we're all thinking like, but if we could have him as Hercules, we would have.
Yes.
But we
can't. And it would be cool if he hangs around a bit some, because you can also definitely see like some interaction between Zeus and the Eternals. You can see a lot of this. And so I'd like to see him have some continuity, especially since we've lost Odin.
Yeah.
Where I think Odin.
Bro, you can't have a one and done with him.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's see. Moving on. Hawkeye has wrapped principal photography. So that's good. Right. That's progress. The way that they've been doing the Disney Plus shows is that it almost seems, I haven't heard of them doing reshoots. I haven't heard of them like reconvening the cast to do reshoots. So, I mean, it seems fairly similar, I guess, to a traditional TV show shooting schedule that they just factor in the reshoots into it. Right. You know, they're doing, I mean, when you're doing your typical like half hour sitcom kind of thing, they run what are called dailies. And so you do your day of shooting, and then you have your producer, director, editor, and the key cast sit there and they watch the dailies. They see all the stuff that was shot, and then they'll say, oh, well, you know what? We want to reshoot that part. We want to fix that. We want to fix that one. That line didn't come across the way we expected. There was a stupid light in the background on that shot, whatever. So then the next day they will redo those shots and then, you know, continue on. So maybe they're just integrating the reshoots into these Disney Plus shows, which is also much less expensive to do it that way too. Instead of like, 2 months later, we're going to call everybody back and then we're going to put the sets back up and all that stuff. That's silly.
Yeah. They can focus on other things that they need to spend that money on instead.
Yeah. And also the other thing is that for like, you know, a sitcom, sitcoms have these stages for a long time. And so they have the ability to go back to the these stages, and they have their sets set up and that kind of stuff. Yeah. For things like this, especially because of, you know, the COVID crunch, if you will, with these delays in production schedules, they're probably literally down to like days of, hey, we have 3 days before we have to vacate this soundstage because the next show is going to be coming in. We need to wrap. So, you know, I'm assuming like it's probably that tight right now.
Right.
Have you guys heard about all the Sony deals?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And so, I thought it was, I mean, because we talked about the Netflix one, Sony putting everything on Netflix. And then now that they were talking about putting all the, like, they came to an agreement to have all the films on Disney Plus. And I was like, even when they did the Netflix deals, I was like, there's no way they're going to cut Disney out of that. Disney makes, like, there's so much money that Sony is making with Disney. There's no way that they can just be like, sorry, you get nothing. So it wasn't really a big surprise when they were like, we made a deal with Disney Plus. I was like, of course you did. Like, you're not surprising anyone here, Sony.
Yeah.
Well, it's where everyone wants them anyway.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So I just kind of, I was like, sure, Netflix, just Netflix. Okay, you can pretend that we believe you for that. We'll just wait for a little bit. And then lo and behold, they came out and released that. And I was like, no surprise there.
So to lay out the nitty gritty for everyone, and we're going to talk about the Netflix deal too, because it's actually directly related to this. So Sony, who doesn't have their own streaming service, yet they have a pretty good slate of movies, both in terms of catalog and new films that are coming out. They cut a deal, a multi-year contract. I think it goes 5 or 6 years with Netflix. And so Netflix will be their go-to streaming service for that period of time after a movie has been in the theaters. Netflix is then going to get it. Where then, what we've seen traditionally, that after a streaming service would have it for a while, and then you would see it on like TBS or TNT or, you know, Fox or something like that. Instead of going to that, it's going to go over to Disney. And these properties are then going to take one of two paths. If it is Marvel related, and this is both apparently MCU as well as Sony's Marvel universe, so like the Venom movie and that kind of stuff, it will be featured on Disney Plus. Anything else is going to go over to Hulu. So Sony has made some very good deals. It absolutely benefits Netflix. They absolutely benefit the Disney side of things. This is one of those things that works out very well. And of course, you know, we're happy about it because fundamentally we're going to be able to see every MCU film on Disney Plus with the exception of Incredible Hulk. And I don't think anyone's really heartbroken over that.
I like Incredible Hulk. I'm going to stand up for it. I think it should be. It's part of the canon. Everybody, it is part of the canon. And Thunderbolt Ross is in there. So yeah. It should be on there too. So yeah. I'm going to stand up for Incredible Hulk. I like that movie.
Yeah.
Come at me.
It's still, no, I agree. And it, even though I have some issues with the film, it actually still is an entertaining movie. There's a lot of really good action in it. And it is nice to have that continuity just yeah. so it's there. And, you know, it's kind of the completionist in all of us wants this whole package to kind of be there. So, hey, yeah. you know, hopefully
I think it's a very solid early Marvel's origin story. Yeah. Like it's, yeah. it would look later on in their storytelling. Obviously it's not that great as what we're getting as even the right. Mark Ruffalo stuff, but like an early, like right after of Iron Man, it fits so perfectly. It's mm-hmm. so good yeah. like that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. It's you know, hopefully Universal will cut a deal with them. What I'm also hoping that this is, you know, really indicative of is that Sony is going to continue working with Marvel Studios on yeah. Spider-Man and anything else that they have, you know, domain over to continue this integration with the MCU. So I'm really happy with that.
Yeah. I want to see more Spider-Man in the MCU. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Less back, more MCU.
That's yeah. right.
Yep.
Let's see. Did you see the billboard?
Yes. No.
You didn't see the billboard, Lizzie?
It was all over Instagram.
I missed it.
Sheba, go. Yeah, tell us about the billboard.
So there were some fans that put up a billboard in LA in Los Angeles asking for Marvel to bring back Tony Stark to the MCU. And I just laughed. It was somebody, I think somebody had made a meme out of it being like, this is what happens when you have adult money. I made a joke.
This is what happens when the Snyderverse makes it, by the way.
And then I was like, I guess Twitter wasn't hacking it, wasn't cutting it. So they had to go to the streets to make it, you know, make mm-hmm. their case known. I thought it was hilarious. I was like, listen, I love Tony Stark as much as the next person. Yes, we're going to miss him from the MCU, but you know what? Let other people have their turn, have their moment in the spotlight. You know, hey, also, you never know.
Such a good story, and it yes. closed. Like, what exactly. is your damage, Becky?
Exactly. I was like, I don't understand who needed this, because I was, as a fan, was like, cool. And I know in comics, everyone dies and comes back to life. It's just a thing that happens. I get it, but. For now, let's just leave him where he is. You know, just leave him. Let him be at peace. And we can tell the other stories.
Exactly. It was yeah. so perfect.
Exactly. It was just, it's going to go back. Yeah, I didn't understand. I was like, okay, I guess. No one asked for this, but sure.
That honestly just makes me mad at the Snyderverse. I feel like
look at what you started. Look at what you've done.
Sorry, fighting words. I know, but I don't care.
That's fair.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we talked about this on Random Chatter a few weeks ago, kind of about this. Is this release of the Snyder Cut going to change things in terms of basically fans being able to have too much influence mm-hmm. on productions and to be able to change movies if they don't like them? And in this case, you know, I don't think so, because really it was, while the fans certainly were clamoring for it, it was Zack Snyder who had this product and he did want to put it out, and his production was interrupted, and what went out was a vastly different version than what he had put together. So we got to wrap. So I want to just take a minute here to hit the last thing. Hasbro Pulse did a live stream today to announce some of their new Marvel Legends action figures and some other things. There are going to be several Shang-Chi action figures coming out, which is great, but we don't really know anything about the characters yet. So the excitement is kind of there, but kind of not.
I already want the Shang-Chi figure.
If you follow, if you follow Simu Liu, he had like, he was showing all of the Shang-Chi stuff as well. And it looks fantastic. And I've never gotten any of those individual characters, but I totally want his character toys.
Oh, yeah.
And action figures.
I thought it looked
fantastic.
They did. They are putting out a bunch of Falcon and Winter Soldier characters in this. And because obviously the action figures in some of these cases would have kind of spoiled certain things, they did mention, mm-hmm. hey, look, with a lot of the Disney Plus stuff, we're not going to be releasing these figures until after their characters are shown in the shows. Apparently, some people were getting upset about like their marketing rhythm on this. They're like, no, we're going to wait.
It makes sense.
So,
yeah, model.
So what they're putting out, they're doing the Captain America version of John Walker, which actually has the same packaging that we saw in the series that he was like signing for people. We're also getting the U.S. agent, John Walker. It's the same, but black. Zemo, Bucky, Sam's Captain America with the shield. And if you're familiar with how they do these waves of Marvel Legends figures, there's like five or six figures in a wave, and each one of those figures will have an extra thing in their package with it that then when you get all of them will build another character. In this case, they're not giving you another character, but they are giving you Sam's wings with a jet pack and with a red wing and that kind of stuff. So it's a cool extra that we're getting there. A new cosplay style Falcon and Winter Soldier version of Cap Shield, Falcon Winter Soldier Monopoly. We're getting a Scarlet Witch and White Vision from WandaVision, a Loki with the TVA jacket and the tie and all that kind of stuff that we saw in the trailer. We're getting some re-releases of characters, Hercules, Human Torch, and Wolverine. And they're also giving, they're doing army builder packs. So if people want like a bunch of generic Hydra agents or AIM, agents, something like that, they're doing some of those things, which is kind of cool. So yeah. So that was their new release there. So with that, we do got to wrap up the show. We did have a lot of news. Lizzie. Yes. Very quick. You have 30 seconds.
So quick. So Shop Disney yesterday put out like the looking eye emoji with hashtag Falcon and the Winter Soldier yesterday. And today they released some Falcon and Winter Soldier products, and they have this amazing Sam's Cap Spirit jersey. I haven't seen the rest of the products, but they do have like a brand new release of Falcon and the Winter Soldier stuff. And that one Spirit jersey sweatshirt, I like don't even like Spirit jerseys, but I need it. It's so good. And very it's in cool. my Instagram. I'm going to probably post it somewhere else and probably buy it because it's amazing. So check awesome. Out their merch too.
Very good. We'll check that out. All right, ladies, thanks for joining me tonight. Folks, thank you very much for joining along with us, and we will catch you next week. Take care.